you didn't get a copy of the outline that was out at the front, you can raise your hand and men are coming around to pass that out. Threw you all off your routine giving an outline on Sunday night. But I figured I had one for the first two lessons in the series, so I'll get one for the last couple as well. Nick, do you think before you speak? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Watch your mouth, son. How many of us have heard those in our lives? How many of us have said those maybe to our children and our lives as parents? You know, all of these phrases, not only do they have what they have in common is that we've all heard them as children, we've all said them as parents probably. They also have to do with what we say. Watch your mouth. Think before you speak. So only say nice things. You know, not mean, not nasty things to others. And they have to do with saying things that we shouldn't be saying. But you know, these are usually said to children or maybe a wife to her husband occasionally. But whether we're young, whether we're teenagers, whether we're adults, whether we're senior citizens, those sayings, the saying, "Oh, be careful, little mouth," isn't it so applicable for us today? No matter how old we are, we're always going to have a problem. We're always going to have a struggle controlling the powerful muscle that's called our tongue. And so, and as Christians, we are commanded and we are instructed in God's Word to be careful with what we say, to watch what we say. We know how powerful our mouths are. We know how powerful our words are. And yet, we still fall into that temptation from time to time of saying things we shouldn't say, of talking before, or speaking before we think, of saying mean things and not just keeping our mouths closed. We must be attentive to what comes out of our mouth. And so tonight we're going to talk about, oh, be careful, little mouth. What we are saying and how we have to be careful and watch the things that come out of our mouth. As we continue this series, you know, based on that song that we sung this last week in Vacation Bible School, "Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say." And as we look at this lesson, we're going to see it how, you know, first of all, "Oh, be careful." That phrase that we've looked at in every lesson in this series so far. We're going to look at how the words that we say, the language that we use, defines who we are as a person. And then finally, the battles that we fight. I've picked three of them that we're going to look at and how we can win these battles with saying things that we shouldn't say. How we will be saying things that we should say. It's good to see you all out this evening. It's been a really good weekend, a busy weekend for me. The excitement for the Payden family in 2016 has continued as my brother got married yesterday in Tennessee. So in the past month and a half, that's three graduations and one wedding, and then my parents have one more at the end of the year. So it's been an exciting year, exciting weekend, but this is the best part of the weekend, being able to come here and worship our Father, and assemble with fellow Christians. And we hope everyone had a good Father's Day. I hope everyone had a good time, whether you spent it with your family or not. Like Dwayne talked about this morning, we're thankful for the fathers that we have who have set a great example, especially Christian fathers, for all of us. I'll tell a little funny story. Got a card from my dad and gave it to him this past weekend, and it was entirely in Spanish. And my dad doesn't know Spanish. So he actually had to call his dad and have him translate it on Friday. But definitely thankful for my dad and the example that he has set for me. I'm thankful for all the many dads that we can take great examples from. The phrase, "Oh, be careful." And I think this phrase is so applicable for our lesson tonight especially. Because, "Oh, be careful," is kind of like saying, "Think before you speak." "Oh, be careful" is like saying what we see in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, with "renew your minds, make your minds fresh and new again." And I think that's really applicable for what we say. You know, in my opinion, this verse, "Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, for the Father up above is looking down in love," it may be the most applicable verse of this children's song for Christians of all ages. In Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, that verse, this passage that we've looked at and all the lessons so far in this series, kind of what we want to focus on with being transformed as Christians and what we're doing, what we're listening to, what we're looking at, what we're saying. Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, another way of saying, oh, be careful, is renew your mind. Think about what you're saying. Think about the words that are coming out of your mouth. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, you know, if we want to be set apart as Christians, if we want to be, you know, transformed out of this world, we have to renew our minds. We have to be careful with what we're saying. And renewing our minds is really the only way that we can be transformed, especially in this, in what we say. Because our vocabulary, that's stored in our minds. You know, in our minds and our hearts, we kind of use interchangeably. Everything is stored in our hearts. Everything in our hearts is stored in our minds. Our vocabulary is here. And what's up here is going to come out of our mouths. And so renewing our minds, making it fresh and strong and new again as Christians, transforming ourselves, that's how we're going to be set apart. And, you know, I go back to that quote that I used last week when talking about what we hear. David Bunning, the preacher down in Murfreesboro, the quote he used, he says, "We hear it once and it's stored in our brain. It's there. Whether we remember it's there or not. We hear it repeatedly, and it's easily accessible. We can find it a lot easier. We hear it a lot, and we can recall it. It's there for us to remember, to recall. And then we say it, and it's part of our vocabulary. It's part of our vocabulary. It's all of a sudden become part of who we are, part of the image that we have that we're going to talk about here in a couple minutes. You know, that goes back to what we hear. What are we filling our minds with? What are we filling our hearts with? Are we transformed in that? Because if we're transformed in that, if we're renewing our minds and what we're filling it with, we're going to be transformed in what we say and what comes out of our mouth. And we go back to the other three verses that we've looked at in this entire series. In Proverbs 4 and verse 23, talking about how everything that is in our heart, everything that comes out of our mouth, is from our hearts. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. "Watch over your heart with all diligence," or "guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." And we're going to read verse 24 in this lesson, because right after Solomon says, "Guard your heart, because everything comes out of it," what does he say in verse 24? "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you." Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that Solomon has verse 24 right after he says, "Guard your heart," because what we're letting into our hearts is what's going to come out of our mouth. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus is speaking in verses 20 through 23. And Jesus says, and as he was saying, "That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, and foolishness." All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Everything comes from our heart. And then Jesus speaking again in Luke chapter 6, and in verse 45. Notice what he says at the end. He says, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil." So whether good or evil, it's in our heart. And then what does he say at the end of this verse? "For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." So if we fill our heart with good things, we're going to speak good things. We fill our heart with evil things, we're going to speak evil things. Everything that comes out of our mouth is really a reflection of our heart. The proverb writer says that. Jesus says that as well in the New Testament. It's a principle that we see throughout the Bible. And you know, Satan wants to get into our hearts, doesn't he? Now, like I talked about in that Wednesday night talk about, we have to close the door on Satan. He wants into our heart. He wants that door open, whether it's cracked or whether it's wide open. And normally, he gets into our heart and who we're around and what we're listening to and what we're filling our minds with. And then from there, He gets us to say things with our mouth that we know we shouldn't. Say sinful things that are not pleasing to God. And that's why it's so crucial to be careful in what we say, because words are powerful. Words reflect what our heart is like, whether it's evil, whether it's good, whether it's pure, or whether it's unrighteous. Words are powerful whether they build up or whether they tear down. We remember what was said to us, what was said about us. And so we must be careful with what we say. And then we're going to look at the second point of we are what we speak. You know, I took that the quote, we are what you are what you eat, and I've kind of changed it a little bit, because yes, that may be true, you are what you eat. But I think it's even more true and even stronger, we are what we speak. What comes out of our mouth defines us. And you think about first impressions. And I meant to talk to someone like Tom, who's probably done hundreds of interviews in his life. And I wanted to ask him what the first impression he gets whenever people come in. And your dress is an important first impression, but your speech is also a pretty important first impression that you have. Going through these classes on how to interview, people always said, make sure you don't say or they said don't say like a lot. They said that to girls especially. Because you want to put on a good front with what's coming out of your mouth. And quite often, whether it's fair or unfair, we kind of judge people based on their speech. We can see if someone is intelligent, if someone is uneducated. We can see if someone is arrogant or if someone is humble based off of their speech. We can see if they're moral or if they don't have very good morals. They're not following Christ by what comes out of their mouth. I think this is a highly unfair judgment people make. Whenever you hear people talking like this with a southern drawl, you think they're hillbillies. You think they're not very educated. And it's not so bad with me, but you go to Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia, and people have that stereotype that they're not very educated. And they could be extremely smart, but whenever they have that southern drawl, that first impression people get is that, oh, they're not that smart. And not only is our speech a first impression, but the people who we're around, the way that we talk to them, that's the impression they're going to have of us. Now, this kind of hit me. I was watching the NCAA basketball tournament as well as the wrestling tournament back in March. And I saw people, the students from the schools like Cornell and Princeton and Yale, and they were getting interviewed. There was not a stutter. There was not an there was not a like. They spoke fluently. And I was thinking, you know, you don't see their intelligence based on their GPA or their SAT scores or any type of thing like that. But you could tell they were intelligent based on how they spoke. The first impression, the overall impression we get from people is usually heavily influenced by their speech. Think about the coworkers or your friends or some, maybe even your family members, who gossip, who curse, who lie. Do they have a very good impression on us as Christians? Do they even have a good impression on those who are not Christians, if their speech is not very good? And so what type of impression do we give off? Because our speech, the way we talk and what we say, defines who we are, defines our heart. It shows our character. Is it an impression of Christ? You know, Jesus is talking in Matthew chapter 5 about the impression that we have on others around us. And in Matthew 5, starting in verse 13, He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 1, Paul says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." So Paul is saying, be imitators really of Christ. He says, I'm imitating Christ. Be imitators of Him. In our speech, in what we say, are we lights to this world? Can people see Christ and God living through us in what we say? Are we imitators of Jesus, the perfect example in our speech? We read and we see there was no deceit in Jesus' mouth. He did not hurl those curses at His abusers, at His the people who were crucifying Him. He was perfect in what He said. Are we imitating Christ in our speech? Are we lights to this world? Are we salt of the earth in what we say? You know, our speech is going to show our true character. Our speech is going to show who we are imitating, whether it's the world or whether it's Christ. Do we talk one way around our spiritual family, around our physical families? And then once we go to school, once we go to work, once we're out in the world, we talk a completely different way. People are going to see who we really are based on how we're talking. But then again, we can plant so many seeds. We can shine such a bright light based on our speech. Kind of like we talked about last week with what we listened to. Society is accepting more and more these abusive words, these profane words, this language that is not wholesome, but that is unwholesome. Society is saying it's not a big deal to talk like this. But if we're transformed as Christians, think about the light we can shine for Christ based on just how we talk, based on just what we're saying as children of God. People will see if we are talking like a child of God, or people will see if we are talking like a follower of Satan, like one who is on that wide path leading to destruction. The proverb writer talks a lot about what comes out of our mouth. At the end of the outline, if you haven't seen it already, I have just a several admonitions that we see in Proverbs that I didn't use in the sermon, but I didn't want you all to go without them. So you can take a look at those later. But the proverb writer talks about how our speech ties with who we are as a person. And I'm just going to read these very quickly. You can follow along on the outline. In Proverbs 6 and verse 12, it says, "A worthless person, a wicked man, is one who walks with a perverse mouth." Proverbs 10, verse 11, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." Not verse 19, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." In verse 32 of the same chapter, "The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverted." Proverbs 15 and verse 2, "The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly." Proverbs 16 and verse 27, "A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire." You know, notice the stark contrast between the one who is controlling his mouth and the one who doesn't control what he says. You know, notice the contrast between the one who restrains his lips and the one who just speaks perversely. Do we want to be the righteous man? Do we want to be called a righteous man? A wise man? Or do we want to be called a wicked, a worthless, a perverse man who digs up evil? I think every single one of us can say we don't want to be called wicked. We don't want to be called worthless. We don't want to be one who says we dig up evil and that our words are like scorching fire. See, our words, what we say, that's going to show whether or not we're wise and righteous or whether we're wicked, worthless, and perverse. Now, and how can we glorify God and have a perverse mouth? How can we teach others about Christ while talking like a worthless and wicked man? Christ, the perfect example. How can we teach others about Him while we talk like a wicked and worthless person? How can we be transformed out of this world while talking exactly like the world talks? Well, see, the answer is we can't. We can't teach others about Christ when we're talking about like a wicked and worthless man. We can't teach others about God with a perverse mouth. We can't say that we're a child of God while talking like the world. You see, we are what we speak. Our words define who we are. Our words show our true character. With our words, we can teach others about God. We can shine so many lights. We can plant so many seeds in this dark and sinful world. And so what are we doing? Who are we as a person? Are we a wicked and worthless man with a perverse mouth? Are we a righteous man? One who is wise? One who is able to restrain their lips? One who is glorifying God in what they say. Our mouth is going to show whether or not we're following God, or whether or not we're a hypocrite, talking one way around one group of people and a completely opposite way around another group. Our mouth is going to show if we're a wicked and a worthless man. So what does our mouth say about us? See, we're all fighting a battle. That's why it's so important that we think about what we say before we say it. We're all fighting this battle with Satan, really, on whether or not to say righteous and pure things, whether to say worthless, wicked, and perverse things. And see, this battle doesn't start in our mouth. Like we talk about at the beginning of this lesson, the battle starts in our heart. It starts in our mind. See, in the past two lessons, I've kind of tried to pull out that what we look at and what we listen to is a choice that we make. We choose what we want to look at. We choose what we want to listen to, but we choose what we want to say. We choose what's going to come out of our mouth. We hear the term a lot, it just slipped out of my mouth. I didn't even know it was coming out until it came out. Well, we make the choice long before it's on the tip of our tongue. We choose what's going to come out of our mouth, like Jesus talked about in Mark 7 and in Luke 6, with what we fill our hearts with. We make the choice to fill our hearts with pure things, to fill our minds with righteous and godly things, or we make the choice to fill our minds with evil, wicked, worthless things. See, we do make a choice. While we still have to think about what we're saying, it doesn't just slip out. Because we've chosen long before it comes out of our mouth what we're going to say. We choose whether we're going to be conformed with what we say or whether we're going to be transformed from this world as children of God. And so just three, it's not an exhaustive list with battles that we fight in our speech, but just three different battles that I thought of that we fight with Satan every single day. And I was talking with Jeff this morning before services. And he asked what I'm going to be talking about. And I said, well, be careful, little mouth. And he said, you know, that's something that's a problem for everybody. And it kind of got me to think. You know, he said the words that we say is like a button that's pushed on everybody. You know, some of us have temptations in one thing, while others have a temptation in another. It seems like every single person has the temptation to say something that we shouldn't say. And we've all had that temptation. And that temptation's never going to leave. So the battles that we fight in our speech, the first one, if you want to look at Ephesians chapter 4, it's what I've called destructive words. And it comes from Ephesians 4, because Paul says there, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification or building up, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And also in Romans 12 and verse 14, Paul says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. And so I thought about edification. The opposite of that, the opposite of building up is destroying. So destructive words. And my thought process is probably different than what you all think when you think of destructive words. But I thought of lying, gossiping, slandering, or speech without grace. Speech just that does not edify those who are listening. That kind of taken directly from Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Now, we talked about how the one who is gossiping, the only way he can spread gossip is to have someone to listen to him. We talked about that last week. But are we listening to it and then we're going and spreading it about someone else? Are we telling the truth with what we say? Whether it's about someone else or about other people or just in general. You know, and the rule that I kind of thought of was, if we don't want someone saying it about us or saying it to us, don't say it to someone else or don't say it about that person. It goes back to the golden rule, doesn't it? And another thing that I thought about was with lying. Our society, it seems like lying is all of a sudden accepted. They say, well, it's a little white lie. It never hurt anybody. A white lie is still a lie. Whether, you know, it doesn't matter. We're still deceiving somebody. We're still deceiving others around us. And we see many times in the Bible, we are to put away a deceitful mouth. And this also includes things that we may not say, but things that we may type on social media. You know, that's something that I failed to mention last week in what we listened to. But, you know, it doesn't have to come out of our mouth. to be unwholesome words, to be destructive words. Social media is so prevalent in today's society. And that's really becoming how especially the younger generation communicates more than often. Are the things that we're posting on social media giving grace to those who are reading? Are the things that we're posting on social media building others up? Or is it destroying someone else? Now, and are the videos that we post on social media, is the language that they're using giving grace to those who are listening to them? The things that we may see an article and we like it and we skim through it and we repost it on social media, come to find out there's something that's not true. There's maybe a false teaching that is not go with what Christ teaches in His Word. We must be careful about what we post on the internet, what we type out to others. It's so much easier to type something in most cases than it is to say it to someone's face. But are those words that we're saying, whether it's from our mouth, whether it's through a keyboard, online, in a text, is that building someone up? Is that helping them get to heaven? Or is it destroying? Is it a lie? Is it stretching the truth? Is it something that's not graceful, not giving grace to those who are listening? How do we fight this battle? How do we win this battle? Well, it goes back to think before we speak. Renew our minds. Fill our minds with graceful things, with edifying things, and we will speak. We will post. We will type edifying things as well. Ask ourselves, will this give grace to those who are reading, to those who are listening? Destructive words, a battle we fight each and every day. But we must be saying and posting and typing things that are edifying, not that are destructive. The second thing that I want to talk about is angry words. And we sung the song about it. And by the way, thank you, Jason, for the songs that you got on a short notice today. Now, angry words, and going back to James chapter 3, Greg read it for us earlier, so we won't read the entire passage again. You know, but James talks about how the tongue is such a small part of the body, but it can cause such a destruction. And I looked up this afternoon what the strongest muscle, pound for pound, in the human body is. And I found that the jaw or the mouth, pound for pound, is the strongest muscle in the human body. And isn't that fitting? Because the mouth is usually what gets us in the most trouble. The mouth is usually the most destructive muscle that we have in our entire body. James says that we shouldn't be blessing God, singing praises to Him. We shouldn't be blessing God and then cursing men with the very same mouth. And yet, we all do it. We all fall into that trap. He compares the tongue with starting a forest fire. You think about the forest fires that we see, especially out west, and how so many of them were started with maybe a little cigarette that someone dropped. And it burns down miles of trees, of grass, of plants. It was often started accidentally. Someone didn't think that it was going to start a forest fire when they lit that match or when they threw that cigarette butt out. Isn't that the same thing with our mouth, with what we say? So often, we don't think it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. That's the problem. We don't think before we speak so often. Such a small word, a small phrase, such a small part of the body, such a big fire, such big destruction that our mouth can cause. How many times have we started a fire? How many times have we seen a fire start with just one word, with just one phrase that was said rashly without thinking? We can destroy a reputation. We can ruin a friendship in just a short time with our mouth, with what we say, just like James alludes to. You know, words stick with us, don't they? We all remember something nasty that was said about us or to us. We can probably remember those for years. We probably remember something that we said that we shouldn't have that was nasty about someone else. A lie that we shared with others that we probably shouldn't have. Or a name we called somebody. But you know, we also probably remember the nicest compliment that someone has given to us. We also remember something that someone told us, maybe a brother or sister, someone who was older that said they really enjoyed something. We remember those too. See, words stick with us. Words are powerful. You know, how can we avoid this? How can we avoid saying things without thinking, saying these angry, rash words to others? Well, by renewing our minds, by thinking before we speak. And you know, as Proverbs 26 and verse 20 says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and when there is no whisperer, contention quiets down." Sometimes, silence is the best thing to say. And that was just 10 seconds of silence. Humans don't like to be silent, do they? It felt like a minute whenever I was just standing here. But sometimes the best thing to come out of our mouth is nothing at all. It goes back to what Mom always said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Controlling our mouth, thinking before we speak, that's going to help us in the battle we fight with saying angry words. And then very quickly, the third battle that I thought of is what I titled Unwholesome Words. And I really want to focus on one of these. But we already read Ephesians 4, verse 29, that everything that comes out of our mouth should be wholesome. In Colossians 3 and verse 8, there's two passages in Colossians that I really like regarding this. Colossians 3 and verse 8, "But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth." And then Colossians 4 verses 5 and 6, "Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity." So he says, conduct yourself with wisdom, make the most of the opportunity toward those who are not Christians. And then what does he follow with right after that in verse 6? "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Now, I read that and say the abuse of speech should be put out of our mouths. We shouldn't say anything unwholesome. That our speech should be seasoned with salt. We should be, you know, showing wisdom in our speech. And I really want to focus on what we call euphemisms today. And there's a definition from the Oxford University Dictionary in 2007. And this is a secular dictionary. This is how they define euphemisms. "In speech or writing, we use euphemisms for dealing with taboo or sensitive subjects. It is therefore the language of evasion, hypocrisy, and deceit." This secular dictionary calls euphemisms the language of evasion, hypocrisy, and deceit. There's a quote that I found by the man with the name of Quentin Crisp. He says, "Euphemisms are unpleasant truths wearing diplomatic cologne." Euphemisms are basically profane things that just don't sound as bad as the real phrase, as the real word. And we can be caught up in using them today because they are so prevalent in our society. We may not even realize that something is a euphemism until we study it, until we think about what it really means. And so many of these exist. They replace and usually sound better than some of the most profane words and phrases that our language has to offer. Just a few that I thought of. Oh my, and then you can fill in the blank. We've all heard it. This is blank cool. This is blank great. Or we hear a word or phrase said and then we have an it attached to the end of it. Or maybe acronyms or abbreviations for these profane phrases. Then maybe just the first letter of this phrase. We see people using it all the time, saying it. Do we realize what it really means? What we're saying? You know, something that I saw, our intentions or our ignorance of this euphemism does not change the meaning of the euphemism, nor does it change the reference that is present in what we're saying. See, these things stand for profane, unwholesome words and phrases. And even though they may not sound as bad, if we don't intend for them to maybe be thrown at somebody or something, they still mean something that children of God should not be talking about. They still mean something that we shouldn't be throwing around. Are we shining a light when we use these euphemisms? I think a good principle to go by is if we don't know what it stands for, if we don't know what it replaces, and if we don't know what it means, then don't use it. In this case, it is so much better to err on the side of caution. Because we have seen our speech defines us. Our speech shines a light, or it can show that we are just like the world. And using these phrases and using these words that may not be the profanity that is around us, but may stand for, may kind of allude to these profane words and phrases, are we shining a light? Are we being represented as children of God when we use this type of language, when we use these unwholesome words and phrases? Remember, we are what we speak. And what we say, what comes out of our mouth is going to define who we are. Is it good or is it evil? What's coming out of our mouth? What is filling our minds? You know, these are just three short list of battles that we fight. But how do we win these battles? How do we defeat Satan in what we say? In the words that come out of our mouth? Well, it's by renewing our minds. Remembering who we are. Remembering that we are children of God, and that in our speech we must be showing that exact thing. We are by no means nitpicking our lives when we talk about our speech. Because as children of God, we see in His Word that we must be careful with what our mouths say. We are commanded by God to not talk like the world, even if the language that's being used is becoming more and more prevalent in our society today. Even if society says it's not really something bad to say, you can go ahead and say it. Are we talking like the world? Are we imitators of Christ? See, the only way that we can avoid using these unwholesome words and phrases in our speech is to renew our minds, to think about what we say, to be careful with our mouths, to fill our minds with good, to flee good, and to pursue evil. If we do that, then who we are as a person is going to be defined by what we say, and it's going to be that we're a child of God, that we are a follower of the Heavenly Father, the Lord God Almighty. And if we do this, if we keep filthy, unwholesome language out of our mouths, out of our minds, out of our hearts, if we speak like we should be, if we are imitating Christ and shining our lights, we're going to not just fight that battle, but we're going to win that battle. And if we win that battle, then one day, what's going to be coming out of our mouths are praises to God in His presence with every Christian who has won that battle along with us. If you are a follower, if you are not a follower of God tonight, if you are not a Christian, what is awaiting for us is to sing those praises, to worship God in heaven. And that nothing unwholesome is ever going to be around us in heaven. Because everything that's around us, everything that's being said is pure, holy, and is praiseworthy. If you're not a Christian this evening, make your life right with Him. Become a child of God. Be buried with Christ in baptism. Rise out of those waters a new man. If you are a Christian, you need the strength of prayers of the congregation. Maybe you need to repent of a sin that you've committed that's more of a public nature. We are willing to pray with you, pray for you, encourage you. If you have any need this evening, we ask that you would please come forward and let it be known as we stand and as we sing.